supreme peace and liberation from material attachment and be satisfied. In this world, there is no fruitive activity superior to serving the Brahmana class, for this can bring pleasure to the demigods for whom the many sacrifices are recommended. And then he says that the Lord may, he eats through sacrificial fires, like you know when we have a havan or a homa, when we throw the grains into the fire, we understand that Vishnu is present in the fire. The fire is Vishnu's mouth. So he's eating ghee and grains through the fire. But Maharaj Peter says he likes to eat much more, it tastes for him much better if he is actually eating through the brahmanas. If you give a brahmana some prasad, oh, Krishna likes to eat through him. This point he makes. So in other words, Maharaj Prithu is making actually 2 points in his speeches. One point is, you worship Krishna, please do not think that he is too far removed from you. No, by offering things to him according to your occupational duty, that is very good. And then go through the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Respect them. He says, this is the last instruction I will read today from him. O respectable personalities present here. Can you imagine? My minister, my man of commerce, all great generals of my army, I beg a blessing from all of you, that I may perpetually carry on my crown the dust of the lotus feet of such brahmanas and vaishnavas until the end of my life. He who can carry such dust on his head is very soon relieved of all the reactions which arise from sinful life, and eventually he develops all good and desirable qualities. So in other words, he makes a point that he is a servant to the Vaishnavas. Naishin matistavat urukramangrim shprishyat yanato pagamo yat ata mahiya samraja the abhisho vishekam niskin shav nanam na vrinita yavat. This means, unless a person is making an abhishek, you know, a bath, in the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. there is no way for him to progress in spiritual life. We have to have an abhishek. This means that one has to follow the instructions of great souls in order to not follow the instructions from the little rascal inside, which is the mind. Yesterday, in the Sunday lecture to the guests, we raised a few very poignant points. That means deep points about material attachments, which come in the heart, which arise in the heart when we want to enjoy separately from the supreme enjoyer, Sri Krishna. Some of you were able to attend the class, others had to do service for the Sunday feast. So I don't really want to repeat the points which were made there, but I want to draw to your attention one point I want to draw to your attention. You might have heard we were talking about this attached king Pururava, who had fallen in love with Urvashi and enjoyed many high points of a life dedicated in a life dedicated for sense gratification. So when Urvashi left him, he became completely finished in his mind, and he was always lamenting. So he then sang a song. No, actually, then it was very interesting. He was so much lamenting that the higher beings felt they should do something to, you know, satisfy him, and they actually produced a new Urvashi. They produced a lady which looked exactly like this heavenly Apsara girl, and gave it to him. And they thought the problem was solved now. But when he engaged in sexual intercourse with her, he could understand that it was not Urvashi, it was someone else. And then he became even more crazy. He became so wild, actually, that the Gandharvas gave him knowledge, a secret kind of knowledge, whereby which he would perform a sacrifice and leave his body and go to the same planet that this Urvashi was living. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point that King Pururava actually was responsible for a serious misinterpretation of the Vedic knowledge. Sacrifices are usually meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but King Pururava took the art of sacrifices in order to enjoy himself, you know, to obtain Urvashi. And that is how Karma Kanda started in the Vedic scriptures, these rituals which are performed for one's own elevation to heavenly planets. Before that, the Vedic knowledge was purely meant for the satisfaction of Krishna. And this is a very interesting historical point, actually. Pururava, when he reached the heavenly planets, actually came to his senses, thanks Krishna, one can only say, and he regretted sincerely his life of material attachment. So I personally feel that this song is very instructive for all of us to hear, and I would like to repeat this now for you. The following song was sung by the famous emperor Pururava when deprived of his wife Urvashi. He was at first bewildered, but by controlling his lamentation, he began to feel detachment. So he starts. And now you will hear this, and I just fear that you will not be able to apply this for your life, and therefore you might feel bored. So let me give you a few ideas which help you so that you can apply this for your life. See, if I would now, for instance, talk about martial arts, our Abhimanyu would hear very intently, because he's interested in that. If I would speak about, let me see who else is here, about Vrindavan and a parigram around Vrindavan, Bhakta Holger would hear very intently because he wants to go to India. If I would give an argument how to defeat the Darwinian understanding, our evolution theory, our Madhavendra Puri would he would laugh about me. He would say, what a sincere soul. Because here I'm obviously not very competent to give arguments, at least not on a scientific level, a level which is understood or accepted amongst mundane scientists. But at least I think he would hear very intentively, because it has some application to his life. He is writing a book on how to defeat the atheistic philosophy. If I would speak about the foolishness of running around a green spot place, Bhakta Uwe would listen very intensively. So this is only natural, that we hear to what is interesting to us, because please understand, we can apply that to our present situation in our life. Therefore, those who want to preach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they must know how they can explain things in such a way that that the listener will hear some instructions from this and will be able to apply it in our lives. So I will now talk about speaking up, giving up attachments, and this, please understand, is interesting for all of us here. No matter if we are a grihastha or a sannyasi or a brahmachari or a brahmacharini, these ropes of attachments are the source of our all our problems in Krishna consciousness. If we could just give up our attachment to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, our Krishna consciousness would be extremely ecstatic. See, the definition of attachment, of material attachment, really is very simple. It means you try to enjoy separately from Krishna. And the definition, on the other hand, of detachment, that's the opposite, Loslösung in German, is that you want to only see work for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the definition which Prabhupada offers in the Bhagavad Gita. So, now, yesterday, Srikant Sena came to me and he gave a very nice, made a very nice point. He read a nice thing from his book, Mahabharata, the jewel of poems, isn't it? There Narada Muni gives a very good advice how to overcome or cut the ropes of attachment. And you will see that King Ayla is a name for King Pururava, applies this technique. I want to say that, I remind you, if you have an enemy before you, you have to know the technique, you have to see where is his weak spot. This is the, therefore in sports, or Taekwondo fighting, good fighters will look at a video of their enemy and just study it, make notes. See, well, here his fencing is very weak. When you come from the left side, he, you know, his eye doesn't move fast enough and doesn't see you. So, this is how you, in boxing especially, Sugar Joe Williams did all this, always. Sugar Joe, what is Sugar Joe? Sugar Ray. He always did this. He was a champion in it. He just watched for hours videos of his enemy, and then he knew. Then he would just attack on the weak spot, just push there and finish him. You understand? So when we deal with material attachment, we have to see where is the mistake in it. There is a weak point in it. And just apply our intelligence there. This is how we can overcome it. This is a tip of not just Sugar Ray. It is an old technique. It started with Narada Muni. So, Now what you will hear is how King Pururava detects the weak points of material attachments and attacks there. He criticizes these weak points. And he starts. Now please listen very carefully. Alas! Just see the extent of my delusion. This girl was embracing me and held my neck in her grip. My whole heart was so polluted by lust that I had no idea how my life was passing. So this is the first weak point. When you are in material attachments, you do not understand that you are wasting your life, that life is going by. You're just pulling around, more or less. Someone holds you by the neck. You think it's wonderful, but you're getting older. That lady cheated me so much that I did not even see the rising or setting of the sun. Alas, for so many years I have passed my days in vain. This is the first weak point, actually, of material attachment. If you go to think about it, you're getting older and older and older, and you do not really wake up to utilize the enormous chances which you have in this human form of life. See, to make it very drastic, we are all on our way to the guillotine. The guillotine is a means of execution in France. Actually, in the former GDR, they had a guillotine. Just 10 years ago, there were still guillotines. People were killed in that. So we are all moving towards the guillotine. We cut off our head. But when we are materially, and now we have some time, we can actually use our time to escape death, to become free. But when we are in material attachments, we are not utilizing the time properly. Alas, although I am supposed to be a mighty emperor, the crown jewel of all kings on this earth, just see how much bewilderment has rendered me a toy animal in the hands of women. This is a point which Muchukunda in his prayer also makes. He says, I'm a great king, I'm fighting with many big kings, but when I'm at home, I have to beg for a little, fall down on my knees before my queens for a little sense gratification. You know, in order to have sense gratification, you have to make your sacrifices. It's not that you are a king when you have sense gratification. You have to make arrangements so that your sense gratification is possible. You have to steal something, and so on and so forth. You become a slave, actually. A degraded slave. Not much higher than the animals. That's another mistake. Although I was a powerful lord, no, just because no one will accept this in the material world, and maybe some of our young minds who listen will raise opinion. No, if I can do freely what I want, then I'm certainly not a slave. I'm the independent planner of my own fortune, isn't it? I just do what I want. But see, it's not that you want it. It's your senses, which are just some your nervous system, which just sends some impulse, which all of a sudden will develop some feelings, so that a desire for sense gratification comes up. Not that you are an independent. So that's always what. For instance, when I become hungry, I become a little angry because I do not have enough time sometimes to eat. And I become angry. Why do I have to now serve my belly? I want to do other things. Or you can all realize it if you want to really do something for Krishna and you are tired. Do you know this? When you are tired and you have so much plan to do so many things for Krishna, then you're tired, you have to lie down, you know. Or another thing, then you have to go to the toilet. This always is very disturbing for devotees. You have to go to the toilet, then you have to take a shower, and you may not be such a great fan of water, shower, and then you have to I think you all know what I mean. This is how we are the slaves of our senses. Although I was a powerful lord with great opulence. Now, when we talk of this woman, now, our Mataji, please don't feel that, oh, again. No, think of this is a principal discussion. It means an object of the senses. For woman, the woman is a man. And this is not the only thing we are discussing. We talk about material attachment, and now this Urvashi is a representative of that. Anything, you can name anything. So, that woman just gave me up as if I were no more than an insignificant blade of grass. And still naked and without shame, I followed her, crying out to her like a madman, "Come back, come back." This is how the soul always ends up. He may have been an enjoyer for some time, but after the time, that enjoyment leaves us and we become distressed. This is what Prahlad Maharaj also has analyzed. He said, "My life is a series of unfortunate events." And that means I have to experience how I've come in contact with something which is pleasurable, but then I lose it. I become separated from it. For instance, you may lament the loss of your youth, or the loss of your health, or the loss of your holidays, or the loss of... we always lose something. We are losers here. Let us face it. "Where are my so-called great influence, power, and sovereignty? Just like an ass being kicked in the face by his she-ass, I ran after that woman who had already given me up." The person degrades himself so much. What is the use of being of a big education or the practice of austerities and renunciation? And what is the use of studying religious scriptures or living in solitude and silence if after all that one's mind is stolen by a woman or a man? This is also explained in other places in our scriptures. If by all these activities which we do not develop detachment for sense gratification, what is the use? Then we will not think of Krishna at the time of death. We are not detached. So, hell with me! See, it's a very existential prayer. It's not just some la-lu-la-la. But he says, "To hell with me! I'm such a fool, such a butalas, that I didn't even know what was good for me. Although I arrogantly thought I was highly intelligent, although I achieved the exalted position of a lord, I allowed myself to be conquered by a woman as if I were a bullock or a jackass." See, sometimes in national parks tigers are kept and tigers are bred. And especially in India, it happens that these tigers become dangerous for the people who live at the edge of the forest. They go and hunt the bullocks, that means the oxen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bullock is like an oxen, and they hunt sometimes even men. They become man-eaters. It happens. This is another fault in material attachment. when you are contaminated by attachments in your heart, it's just like if a tiger has attacked you and has captured you. Why? Because you only can think of it. I just read about this someone showed me a page in a book where this was analyzed. When these man-eating tigers become loose, everyone is just thinking about them day and night. You can't really do your field work because you always think that in the field, see, there was this yellow and this black. It just may be some shadow in the light, but you just see a tiger in your imagination. This is what you are so occupied. Can you imagine this? You live at this in this village where a man-eating tiger has just killed 5 people in the morning. You cannot freely go anywhere, even not if in the other town there's some interesting festival going on. You just feel like we must kill this tiger now, otherwise we are not really free. So this is what happens when you are attached. All you think about is what you are attached to. It's such a cruel thing. It's like a man-eating tiger. I'm not free. So, and here now he says something very interesting. This is very direct. Even after I had served the so-called nectar of the lips of Urvashi for many years, my lusty desires kept rising again and again within my heart and were never satisfied, just like a fire that can never be extinguished by the oblations of ghee poured into its flames. Now this is another mistake. One was that you, the last one, that you are always occupied in your thought. Here's another mistake, a fault in it. You cannot really become satisfied if you are attached. So, Hare Krishna, I want to end here. And in my next lecture, I want to present the rest mistakes to you. They have a very interesting subject. Yes, I know. Let me just finish the interesting subject. So, tomorrow or next, this evening I won't be here. And it's also nice if other devotees give the lecture. I want to always give the lecture. There are other qualified lecturers also there. Tomorrow morning I will talk of the second part of the mistakes of material attachments, trying to follow the footsteps of Narada Muni. So we will end the class here. And there is a question I see. Jagadish has a question.
Just referring to the last.
Is it your question or another?
Yes. Just referring to the last part about it's impossible to extinguish fire by pouring the ghee.
Yes.
So I just heard some people are arguing that about Pravriti Marga. You have enough sense in Jhana, and then after a while you have just enough and you give up. So does it refer just to Kali Yuga, or this is completely impossible?
I understand the question.
Some people just argue that.
Yes, it's a good argument. I've heard this often, this argument. We will just wait until Jagadish sits down again to translate. Okay, Dobje?
Yes.
Good. Dobje, isn't it? The first time I heard this argument actually was in a university where there was someone who made his exam on the Rajneesh philosophy. He said, he made the same argument, and everyone became convinced of it. Now, this argument shows that in this argument there is a fault. When you hear an argument, the best thing is to find out, is it a real argument? This argument is not real, because in Pravriti Mark you don't just enjoy the senses. You just don't get wild, so to say, on your sense gratification. This is not how Pravriti Mark works. The way poverty mark works is some religious or some principles are introduced which bring the person ultimately to some good sense. For instance, let us, because we heard so much now about sense gratification between man and woman, woman and man, there is a work which talks about that, but there are rules given. For instance, it is absolutely forbidden to do this. For instance, it is absolutely forbidden to do this during certain times where the physical organism of the woman is this period, I think is the word, menstruation time, and there is you may not, for instance, do abortion under any circumstances. That's completely forbidden, you know, when a child comes after it. And now I have not myself studied this book, and I do not want to do that, obviously, as a sannyasi, but I have heard that there are many sacrifices are recommended to the to devatas and to God and so on and so forth. Or let us take another example. When you eat meat on the poverty mark, you have to say something into the ear of the goat. You have to say, this life I'm killing you, next time you can kill me. Now imagine someone who does this many times. After some time, he will think, oh, why am I killing this goat? If he can kill me, this doesn't make any sense. And also when he has done this sense gratification, sexual life, he will think of, well, if I always have to satisfy such and such gods, let me find out what they want. And then this person who is reads just the Kama Sutra up to now, he will read the Pura Bhagavatam, where he will get more information about Krishna. In other words, Pavriti Marga has a certain psychology in it. It is preaching to very, very, very attached people, and you know, when you have a very attached person who, for instance, destroys his lungs by smoking and is very attached to smoking, you can't just say give up smoking altogether, but just do it, you know, like a human being. Don't take 4 packages a day, just maybe for 1 package is enough. And you may have to do preach like this. Then finally he will make you have to make some concessions, in other words. Or like drinking wine, there are also concessions, and only on such and such day you may do it, and you have to offer it to Chandi. This rice wine, at least, you have to offer to Goddess Chandi. So that's what these fools don't want to hear, that there are rules and regulations in the material enjoyment. They want to just go wild. And only then it will work, Jagadish. I have seen, especially in this Rajneesh movement, where this demon was preaching, where this demon Rajneesh was preaching, you know, no one, he also preaches, just do this, enjoy your God-giving senses, huh? And then you will become detached. And no one has become detached. I was still burning. And another fire has also spread, the fire of AIDS. And you know, 2 kinds of fires burning. The poor people are like ants on a stick which is burning from both sides. It's coming closer and closer. That's the position of these people. Yes? Are you satisfied? Good. That's what, see, you, when you, this is, but this is an important principle for preachers. When someone gives you an argument, first study the argument. Is it really true? And if you can dismantle the argument, like if you can find the fault in the argument, then it's very easy. And they will become very much convinced. I remember this. We at one time had this argument. We followed this in our Heidelberg temple. We had the wife of our temple president. I mean, it's long, long ago when you were little babies. I mean, it was maybe 18 years ago or so. There was this philosophy. When it comes, when the Sunday feast is there, just eat as much as you can, even if it is painful. Just continue to eat. Because then you will lose your taste. You just have to make the breakthrough, so to say. You have to really, you know, do it until they pump out the rasagulas from your stomach. And then, yes, we were very young people, and we didn't know so much. And now, there were not so many older devotees like now. And just thought, just eat and eat. And now remember, after the feast, you know, we were lying, we had our hiding places. We were lying on the, you know, attic? What do you know? Attic, yes. The attic, Dachboden. We're just lying in the dust. And just sweating it. You know, the heart's been racing and so on. Anyways, no one died in the process. We were very young, but I remember it was like this. And we thought we would lose our attachment for sweets because we couldn't have so many. The young bhaktas, we were suffering. We wanted to eat sweets, but there were never enough sweets in our temple because we were so poor. And we thought, okay, on Sunday we just do it, then we get. Didn't work. Yes, the good old days. We had a small temple. Not this, it was Karlsruhe Straße 65, I think. 65. Krishna Chetraprabhu joined there. He was all I missed. Okay, let us finish here. Hare Krishna.